For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, everybody, and welcome into Halftime. It's Monday on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. 1 minute after 11 o'clock. Good morning to you, Matt Jones, Christian Johnston in our studios. Great to be with you guys today. We have a unique day for sports, do we not? We have a deciding game for the championship for college baseball. We have a game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals after a team was up 3-0. So this feels like June 24th, 2024. Matt, this feels like a standalone day in sports. I'm not sure if something like this has happened before.
It's a beautiful day in sports, Phil, and you had the track trials going on over the weekend. You got the Copa America going on, the Euros finishing up group play. They'll get started in the knockout rounds before the end of the week, and I know you're excited. Game 3 in the College World Series, A&M, Tennessee. I mean, how much more theater do you need?
Well, there's a little extra theater added into it with the news that came out about an hour ago. It's being called the worst-kept secret in college baseball, but it already has now come out as official that Texas did fire their baseball coach. It happened more than a week ago, but now today they've announced it. So part of the theater of this, Matt, is not just who wins the championship, but the thought that Texas is going after either or potentially both of the head coaches that are involved in today's game. They're not going to hire both of them, but they very well may be making a run at both Tony Vitello and or Jim Schlossnagel, amongst some other coaches, too. So I don't know if this will be the last game coached by either of these guys. If I were to pick between one of them, I say Vitello probably has already signed an extension at Tennessee. And A&M might have to do the same thing to keep Schlossnagel. So, yeah, you asked for more theater. There's just a little added theater into it today for both of these fan bases.
Who's the who's the top job? You know, you look at football, and it's kind of Alabama, Georgia, if you want to speak. You look at basketball, Kentucky, Arkansas. I think Florida's in there when you start talking about SEC basketball. Where do you have these three schools if you were to go Texas A&M, Tennessee, Texas? Are they all pretty equal, or is one of them stand above the others?
I guess it's a matter of just how you're viewing the history of the programs, because right now, A&M and Tennessee is probably top of the list as far as the across the country in terms of the way that they're perceived by players who are making a choice to where they want to go play, by the idea that they keep pouring money into the baseball program. And A&M's been at a really high level for a while now. This is their second trip to Omaha under Schlossnagel. This is the third time Tony's taken Tennessee to Omaha, and they've only been there for, I think Tony's been there for 7 years. Texas, well, that's kind of like the same thing about I compare Texas right now. I don't know if I'd put it at the level of Nebraska football, you know, because Nebraska football now is nowhere near what it was 25 years ago, 20 years ago, or heck, even like 10 or 12 years ago. Like Southern California baseball would be the same idea. They might have the most championships in the history of the sport, but it's been a long time since they were really a major player on the national scale. I would put Texas near the top of the list in jobs in college baseball. It's just now you're taking a program from one conference to another. And as good as the Big 12 has been in baseball, it's not the level that the SEC has been at. So, you know, How do you view it? Do you view it in terms of history, or do you view it in terms of what these programs are doing right now? Because if I'm Tony or if I'm Schlossnagel, I understand Texas might be able to pay more than those two programs potentially. And the rumors are they're planning on making whomever they hire the highest paid coach in college baseball. But, you know, right now I'd view A&M and Tennessee as better jobs. It's just historically they're not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the way we view these college programs, our mindset has to change a little bit because the landscape's changed so much. And it's, I think the NIL package might have something to do with it. The coaching staffs are going to be, I mean, you're in the SEC. I think you're going to get coached well. It starts coming down. And I don't know if we're there yet with baseball, Phil, but I know we are in the other sports. Where it comes down to that dollar figure to see what school I'm going to go to.
Mm-hmm. Now, the dollar figure is certainly going to be raised, I think, by all three of these schools that are mentioned. And if one of those two aren't hired, well, then you're possibly looking at, potentially.
There's no way Van Horn leaves, right?
No, I don't. Yeah,
there's no way he leaves.
No, I think
because that would be somebody out. If Texas is looking to add, doesn't Van Horn have another decade left? Like if he wants to, he has another decade left.
I think so. I think he'll be able to write his own final chapter of the script at Arkansas. But man, that would be the biggest surprise of the year to me, more so than Cal leaving leaving Kentucky. Not quite the same thing right now. So. I don't know. I mean, I think I feel like I have a sense of the direction that Texas is going. I think they're going to try to hire a sitting SEC coach. But that, it's so funny too. Like remember when all the rumors about Cal coming to Arkansas started coming out, it was the weekend of the Final Four. And Cal was talking, I mean, he's been talking for the last couple of months about how he just didn't want that to come out during the Final Four and take the shine away from the teams that were competing for a championship. I don't know who broke the news first about this, or if Texas felt compelled to make the announcement the day of Game 3 of the College World Series finals. But it comes out on the day where the sport is deciding it. So it's the same idea, Matt. It really is. I mean, that is kind of like, it's kind of like Kansas announcing they're firing Bill Self the day of the national championship game. Or for some reason, if something happens with Georgia this year in football, we're getting rid of Kirby Smart the day of the national championship game. And then that becomes part of the story. Because you know programs at that level are going to try to hire who they view as the absolute best in the country. Not somebody who's working their way towards being the best or has built a decent program somewhere in the American Conference or in the Big West. No, they're looking for the best of the best right now. And the team that wins today is going to be the best, but I don't know if that necessarily means they're going to lose their coach. The games have been good, too. They've been good. I didn't get a chance to watch yesterday because I was driving back from Mississippi, dropping my daughter off at her sleepaway camp. So I listened to the entire broadcast from the A&M side. I'd listened to some of Tennessee's broadcast the day before. And it feels like yesterday, Matt, may have been A&M's opportunity to win the series. You know, they got ahead big time of Tennessee on Saturday, and then were able to hold on. And just getting the home run by Laviolette and not scoring again the rest of the game and keeping Tennessee shut out until the seventh inning, just shutting them out until the seventh inning feels like an accomplishment. You can't hold Tennessee to just one or two runs, and it didn't happen yesterday. It took a couple of two-run homers late. So, you know, I mean, it's different sports. It's different idea of momentum. But when you look at, like, look at the NHL finals, is there anybody that really thinks that the Panthers are going to win this thing after blowing three in a row? And potentially, I mean, they've got to be feeling it right now. It's not like they've lost the series, Matt, but after blowing a 3-0 lead, you got to feel like you've gotten kicked in the you-know-what. And I think for A&M, I think a lot of those guys are thinking yesterday might have been our opportunity. So I remember what it felt like when Arkansas showed up for Game 3 of the Oregon State Finals. And it felt like the day before was the day where you really had the chance and should have won it. And I remember showing up that day at Charles Schwab Field, what was called TD Ameritrade then, and thinking, I don't think they're going to win today. I usually don't show up like that. I don't know. I'd kind of feel like that if I was Florida and maybe even if I was A&M.
Well, in that hockey series, now I watched the first couple games. I'd kind of equate it to when Connor McDavid to LeBron James. When LeBron was down 3-1 to Golden State at that time, LeBron James was the best player in the NBA, Kevin Durant the second. Right now, Connor McDavid is the best player in this series, and he plays for Edmonton. So if you're going to start saying where you know it's if it lies in the hands of the best players, for sure, Edmonton has the best player.
So I know I've brought this up before. The one that we all point to, the one time that we've seen it happen in our lives, I guess it might have happened in the NHL like in 75 in the semifinals. I think it was the Islanders coming back on Pittsburgh when down 3-0. But I've told you about this. I was at Game 7, Yankee Stadium, American League Championship Series, Game 2004, Boston, New York. And it's got to feel like the same thing. Even though that game was played in New York, in the Bronx, at Yankee Stadium, and the Yanks did everything they possibly could to try to use their history. I mean, they had Yogi Berra throw out the ceremonial first pitch. You do not lose games when the iconic Yogi Berra throws out the ceremonial first pitch. But it matters more who's pitching in that game, and Kevin Brown got knocked around like a rag doll, and it was over before the third inning. I think a lot of fans showed up that day at Yankee Stadium not expecting a blowout, but expecting a loss because they'd blown a 3-0 lead. It's going to have to feel like that for those Panthers fans when they show up inside their arena today. Yes. I don't know if it's quite the same for the Texas A&M fans, because blowing a 1-0 series lead is a heck of a lot different than blowing a 3-0 lead.
You mean he got slapped like he was talking about Jaden Pinkett Smith?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They made him like it, huh?
But there was more than one slap in that case. Johnny Damon had a couple of uppercuts to him, including a grand slam that basically put it out of reach.
Is he the most overrated player in baseball?
Johnny Damon?
I mean, because, like, I like Johnny Damon. I'm not saying anything bad, but seriously, is he on anybody's list of, like, best center fields, best leadoff hitters? Like,
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe for, like, a two-year period.
I know in his mind he thinks he is. I know you asked Johnny Damon, he thinks he's a top tenner, but, yeah.
Well, look, when you have that kind of hair and you are that good looking, and then you're part of a team that wins a championship after not winning one for 94 years in that
makes
city.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they're gonna make t-shirts out of you that refer to you essentially as Jesus. But you're right. I wouldn't put him on that list at all. But he was the best player in that game.
Yeah. He had some big moments.
And that stadium emptied out by the time the sixth inning came around. I think I told you guys the story of the Red Sox fan that was taking out 94 years of frustration on every Yankee fan around him with his mouth, and then had a beer poured on his head by about the seventh inning, which is probably the most entertaining thing for Yankee fans throughout that entire day. It's going to be fun today on a halftime on Monday. Here's what we got going on for you. We'll talk with two guests, and lots of times for you to get in on the McLarty Daniel Hotline and talk with us about anything you want to get in on. We are also 66 days up until Arkansas football, so any questions on the football team, any topic of conversation you want to hit on, we can hit on that as well at 877-377-6963. Connor O'Gara coming up at 1:15. We'll hit on the College World Series with him and a few things around college football. Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation in about an hour. And just you and us for the rest of this first hour on Halftime. We'll be back after a very quick break.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Joined by Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation on a Monday afternoon. Hey, Mike, how's your weekend?
Watching College World Series, right? I mean, Arkansas is out of it, but it's the big thing going on. And the big story this morning is Texas did it. They fired their head coach. And now everybody looks at this game tonight, and I've been reading a lot of this stuff from a Longhorn perspective, and they're definitely pulling for Tennessee tonight because they think they're going to get their head coach, and they don't want him to lose to the Aggies, and then the Aggies would have a national championship.
Well, it's a big assumption to just assume that throwing money at the guy that wins this thing is gonna get him to go over there. I think that there are some legitimate cons about taking the Texas job right now, especially after you have built a program that is so strong in both of these cases, both Tennessee and Texas A&M. They have a lot of lasting power there. And you're not trying to do something. It's like, I would have just imagined, like, if you you take a job as the Alabama head coach, you're going to be compared to, and you probably have to mention what Nick Saban did. You know, just thinking the next guy to take over for Kirby Smart, you're going to be held to that standard. Right now, at Tennessee, Tony Vitello is the standard. At A&M, Jim Schlossnagel is the standard. You go to Texas, they're waiting for the next Augie Garrido. It's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, just talking to somebody that knows Vitello pretty well, and I was told that he's really big on who his boss is. Mm-hmm. And the guy that hired him at Tennessee was fired before he ever coached a game there. And that's kind of bugged him ever since. The Texas AD was the AD at TCU when Vitello was there as an assistant coach, and he really likes the guy. And that's why some people think he will go to Texas. I don't know that he will. It makes a lot of sense to stay where you are because of the reasons you just stated. But it is interesting to see what's going to happen. And I'm not sure Tennessee's going to win this game. I mean, A&M was 9-0 in postseason games before they lost that game yesterday. And they got into the seventh. I thought they had it won. I thought they were in Tennessee's head. I thought their batters were going up and really swinging at bad pitches. And they're supposed to be home run hitters. Maybe they were doing a little what Arkansas gets criticized for, trying too hard to hit home runs. And it wasn't working for them. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a two-run homer. Boom, there's another one. And now everything changes, I guess, today. We'll see. But A&M's back in a better position, I think, with their pitching. I think they saved their better pitchers a little bit in case this happened. So we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if A&M won this thing.
My thought is it's Tennessee. Just, I think yesterday was A&M's opportunity. I don't see Tennessee scoring four runs again. I think they're going to get out ahead of A&M. I feel it's not quite like the same thing when Arkansas lost in 2018, but it's a little bit of the same idea. Your best chance was game two. That's how I view yesterday for A&M.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You may be right. It's just that there's something about these Aggies. I don't want to say it because I don't like them, and I hope Tennessee beats them. But these guys have just done things all year long that you don't think they're going to do. And the common logic is what you say. They had Tennessee kind of in their heads about their hitting, and now they've uncorked these two home runs to get back, you know, even in there. They're going to explode today. They're going to hit four home runs. They're going to score eight runs, nine runs, 10 runs. And we'll see if that happens, but I don't know. If I had to put money on this, I don't know what I would do.
You put Phil's money on it. That way, then we'd all good be winners. Hey, have you been, Mike, have you been watching any of this Olympic trials? And I heard one of them say Ryan Krauser, the two-time Olympic gold medalist in the shot put, that he's actually a coach there at the University of Arkansas.
I've seen him warming up before, yeah.
Okay, that's...
In the Fowler Center.
There's kind of been a college theme going on. The kid from Michigan State is the leader right now in the decathlon to represent the country, and they're having some college... I saw the girl from Arkansas, I know there was four of them, but she won her semifinal heat in the 400 meters, so automatically qualified for the final, which I believe is tonight. How many Arkansas athletes have punched their ticket to Paris already?
Well, I don't think any of them have. She is the first college athlete ever in the trials to break 50 seconds in a semifinal 400 meters.
Mm-hmm. I saw, yeah.
Nobody's ever done that in the semis, and I think she'd have to be the favorite. So I think she's going. It's okay to have one of your coaches go. You know, that's not maybe the same thing, but I think it's cool. Arkansas, for all of this stuff about what they do in track, they haven't had a lot of Olympic gold medalists. Mike Connolly won one years ago in the triple jump, I think it was. But they haven't had a lot of guys. Arkansas won national championships by getting guys that finished second and third and fourth and fifth and all these distance events. But they didn't have just surefire gold medalist types. And so if you get one, to me, if you get one, that's a big deal. I'd like to see this girl, you know, go over and win a gold medal in the 400 meters. I think that'd be totally cool.
I see what is it here? It's Kaylin Brown finished fourth. I think
that's the girl that qualified. Yeah, the Arkansas that's the number one. I think she either got first or second in her heat, but it was an automatic qualified for the finals.
Talia Brooks also has a chance to qualify in the heptathlon. So coming in today, third place after the first day, and we see Talia on the football field with John Williams as an MC in basketball games too. As somebody we see a lot of games, and she's still a professional athlete at the same time. So that's another person that's certainly worth rooting for here if you're a Razorback fan.
We're almost at the point, though. Are we in talking season yet? Steve Spurrier's talking season, where all you do is sit around all summer long and yak about football, and people get mad about recruiting. I mean, there's just recruiting crap going on all over the place. They lose the top in-state guy to LSU, and I say lose, I mean, he committed. I mean, you don't lose him until they sign. But then they get this kid from Warren, a 6'6", 230-pound receiver, and we know what Warren receivers have done at Arkansas. But all anybody wants to say is, oh, he's a three-star. Oh, he's terrible. We're not going to do this. Recruiting is bad. So, you know, you got this going on all summer. Just people going back and forth on the internet, and they don't have much to talk about, so they just talk about recruiting.
Well, and part of the idea of how you get your best recruits to stay in state is to win football games so that they feel that this is where they're going to win games, this is where they're going to develop for the NFL. I think these two things do go together. And you know, that's kind of what, that was a topic we had a few days ago. It's like, all right, so 4-8 last year. It's for me, it's not a matter of like looking at what do you need to happen throughout the season in terms of a number of wins to keep the coaching staff together, because it, you know what it's like now. It's the first 2 months. It's not November, because coaches lose their jobs in late October and early November now. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So I was looking at it and wondering, where do these wins come from? I would just guess you need 4 to 5 wins the first 2 months, which puts a lot of pressure for that game against Oklahoma State and A&M, I think. I mean, it's like, go ahead and get them out of the way early.
Yeah, portal recruiting is less affected by what you did last year. You got a lot of reasons why somebody would jump in the portal and end up at a place like Arkansas, a lot of different reasons. But winning four games will affect your high school recruiting the next year. But it only affects it until you get to the next season. And if you start winning, then all of a sudden, decommitments can commit again. And so you're right. And it really is all about what happens early in the year. They got to turn this thing around. They got to win some games they're not supposed to win. I like where they're at. I've always said, Nick Saban talks about this rat poison, and I think it's valid, man. If you sit around all year like Ole Miss's players, and all anybody talks about is how good you're going to be, what did Feinbaum said last week? He said, if Ole Miss does not go to the playoffs, their season has been a failure. That's the position you get into, and that's Arkansas has traditionally not performed well in situations like that. They've always performed well when you get the opposite of rat poison, which is your players wake up every day to people talking about how bad you stink and how awful you're going to be. And it motivates you. It ticks you off. Now, I won't say it always happens, but the better Arkansas teams I've covered were teams that were under the radar when the season started.
Well, I mean, just looking at, I think I see a lot of over-unders on number of wins at 4.5 for Arkansas moving forward. And what that means is that they're probably, we were just talking about, you got to win some games that you're not supposed to win. They're, in a lot of people's minds, they're probably supposed to lose every conference game. So, they, I mean, one win is in conference isn't going to be enough, though. I mean, you're going to need, I mean, I'm looking at the first couple of months, you might need three of them.
I'm just telling you, I'm using common logic. I saw the offensive line last year. This spring, I saw the guys they brought in. I saw them in workouts. I saw them in the spring game. The one thing I didn't like about the spring game was there was no one versus one, so you didn't get to see that. But then you've got an offensive coordinator now as opposed to the one you had, and you've got a hit. Everybody was complaining about Pittman not coaching the offensive line, and honestly, he didn't much last year. He'd wander over there occasionally, but he was walking around watching all the positions. Like I think he figured a head coach, you should do that. This spring, the only time he was around all those other positions was in team drills. If it was individual drills, he was over there with the offensive line. They really did have two O-line coaches. And I just can't believe that with these changes and the people they brought in, the running back they brought in, the quarterback they brought in, the receivers, every time you turn around, they found another fast receiver. They somehow went down and found this kid in Texas who was a quarterback going to Army because he wasn't much of a passer, but they went down and watched him work as a receiver, and he's got, we talked about it last week, the guy's got 4.2, 4.3 speed and good hands, and they're bringing him in here. And we know what Petrino does with receivers with speed. So I'm not saying these guys are going to win 9 games, but I don't see them winning 4. They're just better on paper than they were a year ago.
To close out here, as I think there will be a step forward offensively in almost every aspect, but I wonder about where the defense will be this year in terms of, now they might be okay on the back end, front 7, defensive line, linebackers. I'm a little worried about depth in terms of playmaking abilities. So it's like last year, the defense carried you for the first couple of months, giving you opportunities to win a lot of games or win some games. And I kind of just from the 100-foot view here, 66 days out, it feels to me like this season it could be the other way around, at least from right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right. I mean, it's hard to judge. They did. I say the question mark is at linebacker. That's where they had a mass exodus. And they actually had pretty good starting linebacker last year in Poo Paul. So they got to do something there. The D-line is going to be a little bit questionable until they prove they can do this or that. I still think they're going to have good edge rushers. But if you can actually score points and you don't put all that pressure on your defense, maybe it makes a difference. I really felt like the defense let go of the rope last 3 or 4 games of the year because they were tired of it. They were tired of having to go out and carry the team each week. So there's a different attitude over there. I'm just telling you, I talked to too many people. I talked to a guy the other day that was on the team last year, and he just said the attitude is 100% changed from a year ago. Virtually nobody on that offensive side of the ball last year liked Dan Enos or what was done there. They were scratching their head all the way back the previous spring. They just didn't talk about it. Well, like anything, once something's over, then you talk about it. So I just think it's going to be different. I don't know how much different, but it won't be as bad as it was.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you hopping on. Thanks for your time. Have a great week.
Okay, see you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Irwin, Pig Trail Nation, with us each Monday on Halftime. Halftime back right after this quick break.
This is Halftime.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Man, my Twitter feed has changed completely from the last couple of days, from nothing but the Hawk Tua girl to Dave Grohl. He fired up the Tay Tay crowd, man. I mean, there's more tweeting about Dave Grohl than anything else right now, considering everything else happening in the world. Don't go after Tate. Although I'll say this, like Dave Grohl, I think Grohl is one of those guys where he can say whatever he wants about music and is perfectly okay. Even if it's something that I think is said in, is it all right to say it's in good humor? I mean, it is an accusation that somebody's not really playing the music that they say they're playing at their shows. But I think he's at a point, Matt, where it's like, all right, this is one of the greatest American rock musicians of all time. Let him say what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest bands. I saw Dave Grohl was going on Jimmy Fallon and you know, one of the very first things, they're like, hey, yeah, how's it going? He's like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. This is the best day ever. And Jimmy Fallon's like, really? And then Dave Grohl's like, no, I was the drummer for Nirvana. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, you remember when you were the drummer for Nirvana? That was really cool. Remember that?
I think Grohl would be okay. Yeah, yeah. Who's your boy? Is that Farley?
That's
yeah.
Chris Farley.
You remember that song, Paul McCartney? Do you remember that one time you were in the Beatles and that one song you did? I mean, that was amazing.
It was good. I like you put that cute little laugh thrown in there in the middle of it here. Hey, there's something really cool going on July 20th at Cyclone Field in Russellville, Arkansas. You can register for Landon Jackson's Youth Camp. This is also thanks to Hogtown Memorabilia. You can register for this at hogtownmemorabilia.com. This will be a football camp with Landon Jackson, July the 20th. $100 per participant. You'll get a camp photo, an autographed photo, camp t-shirt, goodie bag, and get a chance to learn from Landon Jackson, who I think is going to be the best defensive player this year for the Razorbacks. Again, you can go to hogtownmemorabilia.com and register for this Landon Jackson Youth Camp. The camp is a little less than a month away. It's July 20th, Cyclone Field in Russellville. And again, it's hogtownmemorabilia.com to get your registration in. A disappointed sports fan wants to know, your favorite Nirvana song. And JT says Dave has more musical talent in his hand than Tay-Tay in her whole body. I'll say this. Like, I think Taylor Swift is a talented musician. I'd go more with Dave Grohl in this case. And let's see. Favorite Nirvana song. Penny Royal T. I had to think for Penny Royal T. I always like that one. Do you have a favorite Nirvana song, Matt?
About a Girl.
It's a good one, too. It's a good one, too. There you go. Disappointed sports fan. Do you have one?
I mean, there's 10. You know, I celebrate their entire catalog. But, yeah, that's, you know, they're
it's not that big of a catalog, too. Wish it would have been a little bit bigger than it was. 877-377-6963 to get with this here. We brought up the defensive line with Mike Irwin a moment ago. And he's saying, and maybe this is right, that maybe the bigger concern defensively is about linebackers, where just not a lot of proven commodity, I guess, at linebacker yet for the team. But we'll find out that first month. Looking on the defensive line, Landon Jackson is probably going to be the only defensive player that's getting preseason love on any of the preseason watch lists or all-SEC preseason lists, and there's good reason for him to be there. But I wonder about who else is going to be dangerous here on this defensive line and on the ends. Anton Junkaj, who was the top edge rusher in FCS at Albany, that's a guy that hopefully can take his production from FCS and have some sort of mirror image of that here in the SEC. Maybe this is a year that Charlie Collins can get out and get things going. Freshman out of Pine Bluff, went to Mills High School, and then some of the returners, Cam Ball. I always liked Cam Ball. He was able to stay healthy. Nico DeVillier showed some things last year. Keavy Rose in the middle. See that there's Eric Gregory, of course, coming back. Quincy Rhodes on the edge. And I'm interested in Danny Sally, who had been at BYU over the summer, was a defensive tackle at Hutchinson Community College, goes 306 or 355 is what I saw on the roster page today there in the middle. So those are just some of the names. I guess those are most of the names we'll be hearing as far as the defensive line is concerned, which at times was a strength last year. But also, I agree with Mike. You could see that they let the rope go in November. But that's one thing I'm a little worried about, Matt. I do think that this year's team takes a step forward offensively. I think they could take a big step forward offensively. I just wonder about where the step will be, whether forwards or backwards, and how far either way defensively for this year's team.
Yeah, you know, year two for Travis Williams calling the plays, and you got to kind of adapt to what you got as far as your talent. You know, it's hard to ask players to do things they're not able to do. So that'd be – but by nature, Phil, if the offense is better – the defense should be on the field less time. You know, we mm-hmm. should be getting more first downs. We should be scoring more points. We should be better in the red zone. We should be better on third down.
The opposing offense should have a longer field more times than they did last year.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, it does kind of go hand in hand. But, yeah, I mean, I do think our offensive line is going to be better. And Travis Williams, you know, I think he's going to be better. I mean, this is his second year. Where it's all on him calling the plays and getting them going. So I got faith in him that he'll get it going, and schematically he'll do some things with the talent he has because it's the way the game is. It's a bend, don't break. Give up as much yards as you want from the 20 to the 20, but you got to get stops on third down. I mean, that's where it is. And he blitzes a little bit, finagles some stuff, does some zone blitz. I mean, he does a couple different things to mix it up and keep you off your toes. So I think he'll be okay, but you still have to have talent, and you have to be able to stop the run. There's just a couple things that are always going to be true. You got to have talent, and you have to be able to stop the run if you're going to be successful defense. And then offense, you got to keep the ball on third down and convert it. In defense, when it's third down, especially when it's third and four and more, man, that you got to get off the field when you got them in a third and four, third and five, and more.
You know, I just think of like the baseball conversation this year about the mental or emotional wear and tear on a pitching staff that carried a team that had trouble scoring runs at times, and it's the same idea here. As you know, one side last year just did a lot more of the heavy lifting, and
defensively. That was the case for the football team last year. And there's an emotional, I think there's an emotional effect upon you, you know, when you consistently play well and you still can't win football games. I mean, Arkansas did play well in some losses defensively last year, but just couldn't get over the top offensively. And I think you saw the effect of that the last month. And I think you probably saw an effect of that the last month for the Arkansas pitching staff, too. So, I mean, that's another aspect, too, Matt. It's like, well, you don't really want one side to have to carry you very much. You're just like a team that's a little more balanced. It wasn't balanced last year. And I wonder about the ability to keep it balanced this year as well. 877-377-6963 is on McLarty Daniel Hotline. You got any thoughts on that? Quick break. Back to wrap up hour number two in just a moment.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
Our guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We have Connor O'Gara with us from Saturday down south, the day that the National Baseball Championship will be decided. Connor, how are you doing on this Monday?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm curious, from an Arkansas perspective, is there an ideal outcome for tonight? Because I was talking to our guy, John Neighbors, about it last week, and it just feels like the only outcome is pain.
Rain, a whole 2 weeks of it where they can't ever get on the field. I mean, lightning, I mean, possible tornadoes, the kind of thing where you can't even open the stadium. The only way we'll be happy with this is if this game doesn't even get played and they finish with dual national championships that no one is satisfied with.
I think that's a fair answer. And I was trying to think, like, is Arkansas in the most pain watching this of any fan base? Because, you know, even Texas right now, as they're trying to find their next head coach, who knows, maybe that next head coach is Jim Schlossnagel, and this is going to be an all-time moment in the history of the Texas A&M rivalry. But, like, Arkansas has to be the most pained watching this, because even if you're Florida and you hate Tennessee, like, all right, you got to see your team in the semifinal, and there's still an outcome for you that isn't just pure pain if A&M wins. So, I think the Arkansas equation, it just all adds up to angst and frustration.
I think you're right about that, but I know I'll be watching nonetheless. And most people that have texted in that are baseball fans, they will watch it even reluctantly, just because, I mean, look, last year's finals were a dud. Even though it went three games, there wasn't a single game that was dramatic and drew you in at all. These first two games, I think, have been worth watching. They've been entertaining. A lot of decisions you can parse through. The one thing I worry about today is that it's very rare that you see Tennessee held to five runs and four runs in two games. And I just think, I'm not sure if A&M's got the kind of pitching depth to get through it today. And, you know, I know they didn't throw Auchinbeck yesterday, and we can kick around whether or not they should have thrown him in the seventh inning, but he got hot. He threw a lot of pitches the day before. He got hot yesterday. And I just wonder what he's got in the tank.
Yeah. I wrote about that yesterday because I thought that was such a pivotal decision. And, like, we play the results with all this. Hindsight is 20/20. I get it. But, like, for those A&M fans who are just saying, well, you know, he's just unavailable. You were never going to throw him in game two. It's like, you're single-digit outs away from winning a national title. I don't need to tell Arkansas fans about that, about what that moment of being on the brink of that is like. But you are so close. That if you have 80% of the best pitcher in that spot on the planet, then wouldn't you want to see what you have in him? Because for the exact point that you mentioned, what if Tennessee gets out to like a 6-2 lead today? Something that feels very realistic, given what we know about A&M, the lack of pitching depth, the fact that they're working through all these injuries right now, they've been able to piece it together. To their credit, they hadn't trailed in the College World Series until that go-ahead home run in the seventh inning yesterday. But, like, Schlossfield talked about it afterwards. He's like, yeah, like, right when that home run happened, I thought about what it would have been to have Aschenbeck in there. And, I mean, you can't help but think about that. Like, I remember the Cubs in 2016 with the Aroldis Chapman thing of, like, hey, you just got to bring him in, like, whenever you think you're anywhere near closing out that game and just say, just go win it for us. And if that means, you know, he's gassed, then that's kind of the risk that you have to take. But, yeah, I thought that was at least a decision worth dissecting, that if you're an A&M fan looking at that just strictly as like, oh, no, he's absolutely unavailable, I just don't think you're looking at the entire picture.
So we all knew or just assumed that Texas was going to be getting rid of David Pierce. You know, it's been referred to as the worst-kept secret in college baseball over the last month. Why do you think Texas announced it today? I mean, you try to get into like somebody's head on why you make an announcement about this or that. Everybody might have known this was going to happen, but why not wait until tomorrow? You know, and we were talking about when Arkansas hired Cal, he didn't want any of this thing to come out during the Final Four for obvious reasons, because you want those teams to have the spotlight. Do you think it has to do with that Texas is targeting one of these two coaches?
Probably. I mean, it's Texas. Why wouldn't they? Of course. It makes perfect sense that they were targeting them. And it doesn't mean, in my opinion, that they have like any sort of deal locked in yet. But, yeah, you're not worried about giving A&M a spotlight if you're Texas. I mean, Texas has done way pettier things than that. And let's also remember this, too. You know, we heard on Friday that Oklahoma announced the Brent Venables extension. That's entirely a move that's made ahead of this July 1st date in which Texas and Oklahoma officially join the SEC. There is a clear desire to have their ducks in a row. I even saw, you know, Sports Business Journal writing about what the new Longhorn Network is going to be. It's going to be more of a streaming platform. Oklahoma announces today they're going to consolidate all their collectives. It's all about getting your ducks in a row right now. And so instead of doing that as you're announcing your official move to the SEC next week, why not try and get ahead of it? Why not try and say, hey, look, we're gonna throw this out there and we're going to give it as much runway as we possibly can. Even if it is an inevitable move, it just kind of speaks to the timing of this very, very monumental move into the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, the Venables thing, it's just 2 years into his tenure there. And he'd had a great turnaround from the first year to last year with 10 wins. But I just wondered about that. I don't think anybody was like going after Venables or anything. Is this just a matter of, well, we have X amount of dollars coming in, we want everything lined up? Like you just mentioned about the NIL collectives being reorganized into one. Is it really just about alignment? Is that what that is? Why you signed Venables to an extension now?
Yeah, they weren't going to fire him at the end of year three. And I think Joe Castiglione, the athletic director, is looking at this from the standpoint of, well, if they get off to a rough start with that schedule, which for my money, it's the second most difficult schedule in all college football behind Florida, the last thing they want is the headline of, see, Oklahoma wasn't ready for the SEC, and now they've got to fire Brent Venables. I don't think they want to even have to answer those questions on the recruiting trail. And so you can kind of see through the language and see the Jimmy Sexton in all of this. And the way that Pete Samuel reported this, and he talked about it being a significant raise for Brent Venables. Brent Venables is not getting a significant raise. He's getting a 5.7% raise with this contract. And the way that it sets up, it adds 2 years onto the end of the deal. The buyout is the more significant piece of this, because you're essentially shifting 2 years of a fully guaranteed contract to be able to make sure that they're not firing him after this year, and they're very likely not firing him after next year with the way that it sets up now. But yeah, the base pay is not even going to be up to $8 million by the end of this contract. We're at a time now in which half of the ICC's coaches are making at least $9 million annually. If you're looking at it from the standpoint of Oklahoma, they're trying to make sure, hey, we're going to get some good headlines out there. People think he's our guy long term. They want stability. They want their ducks in the row. They want to feel like they have their guy moving forward. They still want to win that breakup with Lincoln Riley, something that matters a lot to Oklahoma fans. And I think that this is all about trying to do those things and see the bigger picture of it.
What else did I see about Lincoln Riley? I know they were trying to get out of the LSU game, but they couldn't do that. They just got out of an Ole Miss home and home, didn't they? I mean, you see USC kind of dropping some marquee series with SEC teams, or at least trying to, in LSU's case. But they did get out of the Ole Miss thing. And, I mean, moving into the Big Ten, was that a surprise to you?
Not necessarily. I think it's, you know, and our guy Matt Hayes was the one who broke that story about LSU, you know, the match of trying to get out of that for the Sunday opener in Vegas, and how Lincoln Riley has really tried to make it a priority, and they just could not find the way to be able to get out of it. And they were able to get out of the Ole Miss thing because there's a little bit more runway. It's a little bit different, you know, when we're talking about a home and home as opposed to a neutral site deal. And Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma, but USC rather, is trying to map out what their schedule is going to look like moving forward. And it's just different in the Big Ten compared to the Pac-12. And if you're going to have these guaranteed playoff spots in there and you're going to get credit for playing the schedule, why give yourself that difficult non-con if you're at a place like USC is, where you're trying to do whatever you can just to get to that 10-win mark? And if that's going to be the thing that prevents you from getting there, and if you're still going to be given that same sort of love with three duds in non-conference play with a 9-game conference schedule, then, you know, just kind of let the chips fall where they may and hope that your reputation and the Big Ten boost kind of wins out. I think that's kind of been more the approach with them trying to get out of these contracts.
You know, I know you you had talked recently with John about, you know, potential coaching hires at Arkansas if the Razorbacks move on from Sam Pittman. And what I was talking about last week and a little bit today is the question so often is how many wins – does this coach need to keep his job by the end of the season? And really, we've got to change the formula of the question, because it's not a matter of how many wins by the end of the season. It's what have you done the first 2 months of the season? Because if there's no upward trajectory, or I don't know if you keep it at a certain amount of wins or just going by what you're watching, if you're an athletics director, if a program isn't where you want it to be, by the end of October, changes get made. It's not how many wins do you get by the end of the season. To me, it's what does Arkansas look like by the time they've played Mississippi State, or maybe even going into the Mississippi State game, which is what you wrap up October with. That's what I'm going into the season wondering about. It's not like X amount of wins by the end of November. It's what do they look like by the end of October?
You couldn't be more right with that. And it's something that we do need to shift our perspective. And people are like, oh, if you get to the bowl game, it's like, what year is this? Coaches that are, you know, that are being decided, like their futures are being decided, they don't get to factor in bowl games with that. That's not the way that any of this works. I look at that bye week after the October 5th game against Tennessee, and I ask this question. If you're sitting there, you're Hunter Yurecek, and you're 2-4, and your only wins are against Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and UAB. And it hasn't looked particularly good on the road at Stillwater, at Auburn, at Jordan-Hare, a place that makes even the immortal look mortal. And then, obviously, the Texas A&M game, which has been a house of horrors in that venue for Arkansas. And then Tennessee, a team that, you know, should have one of the best offenses in college football. If you haven't won any of those four power conference games, core four games, I'd call them, what's that decision like? What's that decision process like? Because you could see a decision come as early as that in mid-October. And I don't know what those odds are for first coach fire or anything like that. And I think Sam Pittman is the most likable coach in all of college football. So I hope this does not happen. I'm trying to say that. But when we talk about candidates and we map this out, it's because we know how quickly these conversations can shift once the games actually start. So for me, I think getting into that bye week with winning one of those games, albeit against Oklahoma State, Auburn, Texas A&M, Tennessee, you got to win one of those just to make your boss think, all right, there is progress here, and you've done something that maybe people didn't necessarily expect you to do, because I imagine they're going to be an underdog in all four of those games.
Okay, how much of the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 will you watch? I've watched no hockey this year, but I just feel like this is something I'm going to need to flip it back and forth. When she hits 7 o'clock, I'll be going between ESPN and ABC. And I know You're from up north, so maybe you grew up as a hockey fan. You going to watch any of this?
No, I can't say that I am, Phil. Look, the Blackhawks were on an incredible run during my 20s. I'm very grateful for it. I can't say that I have the stamina to flip on hockey, even in Game 7, which is kind of the ultimate. Like, I don't have a dog in this fight, even though, you know, it is the Panthers, and there is a semi-local interest, you know, here in Orlando for the Panthers. Like, if you're rooting for a hockey team, you know, there is some love there. But, nah, the College World Series will be on my TV. And, yeah, sad to say, Game 7, I will be just seeing any sort of tweets. Maybe, you know, Connor McDavid can do something for the two wins in an O Connor crowd, and I could get on board with that. But other than that, no, that my interest level will be pretty minimal.
Okay, Connor, congratulations on having somebody who's as good as he is, who shares the same first name as you. And I appreciate you hopping on today. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
It's Connor O'Gara with us from Saturday Down South.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.